United Kingdom Evening News Program. It's Wednesday, May 1st, coming to you live on Global Star at 5 p.m. And you can hear us on Thursday for this show at 8 p.m. But you can also hear us on WWCR on and their shortwave on both Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on 9.350 megahertz, and Thursdays at 4.840 megahertz at 8 p.m. So hear us both times. They are two different shows. You don't get a repeat. You get two different shows. And now...
And this is Mr. and Mrs. America, isn't it, Lou?
It is. I'm Lou Caverly.
And I'm Elizabeth Cuppy Caverly.
And we're going to be bringing you emergency alerts. In fact, tonight, we're going to start off with an emergency alert that we gave last night, but we think it's well worth repeating. So here it is.
And before you give that,
yes.
We do want to emphasize again to you listeners that we are on both nights, Wednesdays and Thursdays, and we hope that you will work it into your schedule to hear us on both broadcasts because there's so much important information. And again, we urge you to send a note to us and perhaps three $1 bills or a $5 bill requesting our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos. And here was just a little excerpt from a person, a listener, just most recently. Hi, Lou and Elizabeth. Just a short letter to say thank you to for all that you do in keeping us informed on all the facts of this wicked world we find ourselves in today. I've heard about your book and would like to have two copies if possible, one to keep for me, the other for passing around. Isn't that a great idea, Lou?
Excellent idea.
Like a little lending library.
That's
to get
right.
The truth out. And then the person says, I listen on 4840, and when I am close to the radio at the time of your replays, I always like to hear more than one time. We're saying again that this Thursday broadcast, you can hear on Saturday mornings at 7490 megahertz at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And again, you can hear it on Saturday afternoon, and that, I believe, is at 5 p.m. on 9.350 megahertz. We're not sure whether they're replaying the same broadcast. Perhaps there you even hear two different ones. So it's up to you to make this a priority. We're going into such times as God wants you to be separated more from the world and from your own selfish pleasures. Lou and I are finding that true, too. And we must keep seeking the truth, and we must make sure we don't miss important warnings about attacks on our foods and about other things, dangers coming, the sabotage of the bridges and the other things that are happening. And so this person in the letter says, people like us are glad to hear any news we can trust. May the Almighty be with you both. Thank you. What a sweet letter. So again, if you would like the book, just put your little note into an envelope, and if you can put a little cash, fine. And if you can't, do not worry about it. Send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And any help you can give to us with a check to WWCR or to Global Star Communications, or if you want to send some cash or a money order, you can send that to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, we give a shout-out, thank you, to that doctor in Pennsylvania. Please keep him in your prayers for his health and to pick up more work. And perhaps he was the one, but somebody in Philadelphia sent us a nice big packet of all kinds of stamps. Thank you, Philadelphia, whoever and wherever you are. We are benefited by the Lord's hand, and we're not part of any COINTELPRO, no Operation Mockingbird. This is just Lou and Elizabeth, and we pray that God will keep us from error. God will keep us guided in His way by His Scripture. And now we come to this very important warning. Pay attention.
USDA in China, CCP Lab, are creating deadly bird flu viruses as part of $1 million collaboration. And you are paying for it. By Alexa Lattieri at dailymail.com. And a little summary, a letter states the research could threaten national security and public health. It involves infecting ducks with different viruses to make them more infectious. DailyMail.com asked experts if H5N1 case in Texas raises risk of future pandemic. This was dated April 17, 2024. Lawmakers are demanding answers after it was revealed the U.S. is sending taxpayer dollars to a Chinese army lab to make bird flu viruses more dangerous to people. 18 members of Congress are demanding answers from the Department of Agriculture, the USDA, about the project, which was first revealed by DailyMail.com. It is part of a $1 million collaboration between the United States Department of Agriculture and the Chinese Communist Party-run Chinese Academy of Sciences, the institution that oversees the Wuhan lab at the center of the COVID lab leak theory. In a scathing letter to USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack last week, the bipartisan group said, quote, "This research funded by American taxpayers could potentially generate dangerous new lab-created virus strains that threaten our national security and public health," unquote. And this is Lou. Last night I said this, and I'm going to repeat it. It's worth repeating. We the people are always the last to know, even in matters that threaten our very lives. Can these 18 members of Congress actually be standing up for truth and trying to prevent another vaccine pandemic holocaust? We must pray for them and for all of us and our families.
Oh, Lou, it's just so important that you just bellow out this warning, because we don't know whether this is even kind of a theatrical thing by Congress to just kind of let out a little bit of the truth to warn us. We're not sure, but maybe there are some righteous men and women there really trying to do their part. What do you think? Isn't this vital that we listen to this warning?
Yes, this is vital. Now, tonight's program is concerning World War III being fomented, Ukraine war and bioweapon labs, Israel, Iran-controlled opposition, war drums propaganda of selected bias and hate. Well, now we move to the rest of our vital articles. Elizabeth and I are committed to bringing you the truth via careful news documentation. Never misleading propaganda. When we see flamboyant, dire headlines over and over in the alternative news, we have to ask hard questions. Are headlines like these really from forces trying to urge on World War III by acclimating the public to what they desire to have happen? Utter chaos and a world military action? First, we have this April 18th headline from Hal Turner Radio Show. And the headline reads, "United States loads nuclear bombs onto B-52s. The article states, 3 days ago, Minard Air Force Base practiced the loading of nuclear bombs onto B-52s. Last night, they did it, for real. The planes are now armed with external wing-mounted nuclear cruise missiles. This video shows a practice loading which took place about 3 days ago. And now this is me, Lou, speaking. This is hype. Why wouldn't any nation in the spot we're in, with China, Iran, Israel, simply do matter-of-fact, common-sense national security procedures like this? This mounting of nuclear cruise missiles does not necessarily indicate hysterical war preparation. It's just common-sense defense." And another headline, also from Hal Turner, April 23rd, says, "Lavrov, U.S. West on verge of causing nuclear war." Well, we've heard this same news of Lavrov's key warning recycled at least 2 to 3 times over the last few months. Why? Is this becoming some kind of talking point, again to induce war, paranoia, and fear?
There are real concerns, Lou. These really are questions we have to ask ourselves. Then we have this one from the Daily Mail, April 19th. Iran threatens to use weapons it has never used in painful and severe response if Israel launches retaliatory airstrikes amid fears lackluster drone barrage will further push Tehran to develop nukes. The Bible discusses, quote, wars and rumors of war. This headline, threat, admits, even in its own wording, that it promulgates fear. Fear that Tehran will be pushed to develop nukes by mediocre drone barrages. Next, let's not leave out conjectures to scare us of where and how bad the war breakout will be. Again, the Daily Mail, April 19th. Where will Israel-Iran conflict blow up next? Red Sea, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon could all be future battlegrounds, sparking war, quote, so severe it would make Gaza look like an Andre, says expert Michael Stevens.
All these so-called, quote, experts are supposed to be revered and totally believed by all of us, the common people, the masses of society. Everything is done to lead our thinking so we'll fall in line when the big destructive Illuminati events like war come. Case in point, the Civil War movie out just now. The people are always the last to know. But not all of the ordinary men and women of the world are cowards, accepting that destruction passively. Look at the brave people of Japan protesting in huge numbers against the soon-coming World Health Organization pandemic treaty, if the globalists get their way.
And the strong opposition to the WHO treaty and the odious Biden amendments that are part of it will undoubtedly be growing as the May meeting of the WHO to determine the fate of their global pandemic treaty nears. Then there's Israel's New World Order government that we've discussed recently as alleged to have been helping fund Turkey's genocidal war against Armenian Christians. There are also allegations that Israel allowed the Hamas October 7th attacks to occur. If true, this would be akin to the inside job of September 11th, 2001. Andrew Meyer, an Orthodox Jew, in a Brighteon interview, claimed, quote, in Israel, there are protests on the ground with thousands of people with signs like Netanyahu traitor. So plenty of people in Israel think they allowed these attacks to happen so they could go conduct all this war. And that's why there are thousands and thousands of protesters there.
It is good that possible secretive New World Order stand-downs to further evil war goals are being exposed, if these reports are true. You recall that we mentioned Alex Jones years ago said that Hamas was created by Israel as a buffer against Yasser Arafat. Not much different than our own CIA helping to create ISIS. But there seems to be one missing piece in all these coming war propaganda headlines. In a time when genuine anti-Semitism, hatred of all Jews as a people, is emerging, there's virtually no mention of any evil or action attributed to Iran. No, radical Islam seems to be all sterling pure and innocent.
The news is often slanted. Sometimes it is so exaggerated as to be so absurd it is laughable. Anyone familiar with the Old Testament is aware that the sacrifice of animals in the temple was a very ordinary, frequent religious custom or ritual. April 22nd, the day of yours truly, Elizabeth's Earth Day birthday, this shrieking headline appeared from the HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Barbaric savagery! Exclamation mark. Israel to, quote, sacrifice red heifers tomorrow. This, for some years, you see, this kind of an action, we've heard reports relating to it, that they had a birth of the red heifer in Israel, and how meaningful that was, because that was symbolically important that this phenomenon would lead eventually to the time of the rebuilding of the Third Temple in Israel. Those who write propaganda in order to control and bend the masses' minds to any desired way of thinking, often give themselves away by non-objective, unsubstantiated by fact, hysterical language. This is yellow journalism. Lou, won't you give your New World Order ding, ding alert? You know, we did this as a game in our living room in the beginning. You recall that, don't you?
No, sure,
I'd be reading to you something that was purportedly objective, and when you heard suspicious New World Order propaganda or intent, you'd go ding, ding. And so when you hear this Hal Turner excerpt, you can display your dings. In a display of barbarism and savagery,
ding, ding,
Israel will, quote, sacrifice red heifers tomorrow as a, quote, spiritual cleansing for the rabbis who will, quote, rebuild the third temple. Except in order to do that, the Muslim temple mount must be gone.
Ding, 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 ding.
In a ceremony akin to a voodoo ritual,
ding, ding, ding,
wherein witch doctors cut the heads off chickens or goats,
ding, ding,
the Israelis will sacrifice red heifers. And they dare call themselves civilized?
Ding, ding.
Barbarian savages.
Ding, 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 ding.
But the world already sees that Israel is a barbaric, savage country.
Ding, ding.
Based on their dropping almost 2,000-pound bombs from fighter jets onto apartment buildings, schools, hospitals, and refugee camps in Gaza for the past 6 months or so.
Ding, ding.
Now, we have to interject there. This article is only one-sided. It doesn't tell what the Palestinians did. It doesn't tell about the Hamas attacks. Whoever built Hamas, they were attacking from the Palestinian side. But we don't hear a thing because, again, we have that sanitized, all-innocent cloak that is put over radical Islam. The article concludes, of course, their savagery was also clear when they bombed the Iran embassy compound in Damascus, Syria, on April 1st.
Ding, 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 ding.
And I think now we go back to you.
I think you're right. All right. Okay, Damascus, Syria, on April 1st. This is Lou again. Notice that one word about the Hamas attacks, October 7th, killing innocent Israeli citizens, was mentioned in this article? No, it wasn't.
Now, we're reasserting what I first said.
That's right.
We're underlining it because this omission is startling.
Yes, instead the author says, quote, their savagery was also clear when they bombed the Iran embassy compound in Damascus, Syria, on April 1st. Note there is no mention at all of previous top-level Iranian political leaders' frequent statements of intent to take Israel off the map via total calculated destruction. And I might add that would mean destroying all the people in the country as well, not just the political organization. A colleague sent the Divided Kingdom an email complimenting us on our balanced coverage of the Israel situation. Real bona fide news has to document the reality, too, of radical Islam's true intent and goals. And then, besides using propaganda, demonizing, and distorting techniques, sometimes the New World Order has no choice with an article too hot, but to make it disappear down the memory hole. Just that very thing happened with this next article from the People's Voice, November 15th, 2023. I went back to search for more of this article because we only had the headline first page.
Thanks to Brother Bruce.
Yes, thanks to Brother
of
Bruce.
Of American Prophecy.
Who was kind enough to send that to us. The day I searched for it was April 27th, 2024. Lo and behold, what I did see, but this caption on the search result, 403 forbidden.
What, Lou? The actual word, forbidden.
Yes, forbidden. Later, I was able indirectly to get the whole article via my computer.
Okay. You know, it's vital, Lou, that people do not get taken in by a surface kind of view of events, such as Palestinian protests at Columbia and the University of Texas, and along with a journalist pretending to be objective while vilifying Jews with true prejudice, not very different from Hitler's distortion and the ugliness before the camps opened and the crematoria operated. The bigger agenda is trying to ascertain what the New World Order is really doing, the good cop, bad cop actions, the theatrical, diabolical plan at times, with real people dying. I mean, it's not just on a stage, it's in real life, but there are groups being pitted against each other and used. There are false flags. There is anything to finally incite separation, animosity among people, getting groups to come to the point where the global war of planned chaos will break out. So the article you referred to that disappeared, I guess they hoped it would go permanently into the memory hole, but it didn't, because you got it. It was November 15th, 2023, Baxter Dimitri at the People's Voice leaked docs, and that's short for documents, reveal Hamas-Israel false flag was planned in detail by global elite. The Israel-Hamas war is an inside job by the globalist elite who, working to ensure the Israeli, quote, false flag will light the fuse to ignite a, quote, holy war that will spiral out of control and lay the groundwork for the elite to usher in a, quote, one-world government and, quote, one-world religion. Rothschild admitted his family created Israel as part of the great master plan for World War III, and now their agenda is playing out before our very eyes. But there is just one problem for the globalist elite and their plans to enslave the human race. Their plans rely on the people of the world remaining ignorant, and we are not going to let that happen. And now, this is Elizabeth interjecting that this analysis is no means, by no means at odds with God's prophecy in the Bible that he would rebuild Israel for his people. He would collect them again. That is the spiritual rebuilding and the victory of God in 1947 and 1948. And the hubris of men, the Rothschild connection and the others, the evil labor Zionists, as Al Cuppet mentioned, that they were part of the conspiracy. Yes, they might think that they are in full control politically, and all these evils are happening, but we must separate the two. We must know that God did not want a two-state solution, and he's shown punishment and judgment on various figures. We could go into that at another time. Like H.W. Bush was one. Certain things happened around his hometown there in the Northeast, and things go on, so that God has stated what his plan was, and it won't be fully interfered with by anyone. But now we're looking at the political part that got Israel created. And so the article says, last month, the People's Voice broke the news that a former Israeli intelligence agent blew the whistle and admitted the Hamas attack was a false flag. Then we broke the news that the son of a Hamas leader admitted the militant group was created by the CIA to do the global elite's bidding. Since then, the evidence for the Israel-Hamas false flag has continued rolling in. At this point, only those who are still watching CNN are in the dark about the real nature of the Israel-Hamas war. Now, we have to interject again that we were not aware that the People's Voice had interviewed, I guess, the son of a Hamas leader, saying that it was created by the CIA. The information we had was from Alex Jones years back that Israel helped create Hamas as that buffer against Yasser Arafat. That does not mean to say that all of the intelligence groups of the world, the MI6 types in Britain and everywhere else, that they're not in some satanic collusion at times, because they are. We remember that program of Echelon that used cooperating countries. I think Australia was one, Britain was one. They spy on each other. They spy on each other's people in the countries, and then they share it. So let's not be naive. Now, we continue here with the article, there is no longer any need to wonder why Israeli military took 7 hours to respond to the Hamas attacks on October 7th. We interject there again. It's very much like the events after 9/11. In my book, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, Lou got all this wonderful information from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and other newspapers at that time. And we know that those airplanes that should have come up from Virginia took forever, didn't they?
Yeah, some of them should have been there long before the second tower was hit. But they weren't. They dilly-dallied around. Some of them went out over the ocean on orders.
Yes, isn't that interesting? The Pittsburgh Press and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, we're not even sure whether they're extant now. I think one at least isn't. But you got, thankfully, that information. This is planned delay, isn't it?
Yes, exactly what it is.
7 hours to respond to the Hamas attacks.
Yeah.
Netanyahu is a globalist stooge who has been quietly propping up Hamas for years. It's an open secret in Israel. And there's more to this article. In reality, Israel and Hamas were in bed together, pursuing the agenda of the globalist elite. Last month, far-left billionaire George Soros was caught secretly funneling over $15 million to Hamas terrorists with the intention to, quote, destabilize the West. $13.7 million of the money was transferred to a Hamas-linked group called the Tides Center. According to the New York Post, the Tides Center sponsors many of the extremist groups that have justified the October 7th terrorist attack on Israel. Soros' money is just a drop in the ocean for the Hamas leadership, who have been riding high on the globalist payroll for years now. While their people languish in poverty and are treated as human shields, the leaders of Hamas have live billionaire lifestyles. The group's three top leaders alone are worth a staggering total of $11 billion and enjoy a life of luxury in the sanctuary of the Emirate of Qatar. Some of them call it Qatar, but we call it Qatar here, I believe, Lou, don't we?
Well, we've done it both ways, I think.
Yeah, Hamas runs an office in Qatar's capital, Doha, and leaders Ismail Haniyeh, Musa Abu Marzouk, and Khalid Mashal maintain a luxurious lifestyle. Where did the billions of dollars in their bank accounts come from? Running an insurgency isn't the most obvious way to become a billionaire, unless you are working on behalf of the globalist elite, implementing an important part of their plan to spark World War III and usher in a world government. The leaders of Hamas are valuable pawns in the elite's game, and they have been paid accordingly. The chilling letter that predicted the First and Second World Wars also claimed a third global battle will be fought between the West and Islamic war leaders. We apologize to you listeners who have heard this, perhaps to the point where, oh no, there they go again, but we can hardly ever say it often enough. There may be some new listeners, and we invite you to tell other people who are capable of learning the truth to go to our website, to our listening archives, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell them to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Here it is. Albert Pike wrote the letter 152 years ago detailing how the elites planned to launch three world wars to seize total control of humanity. Pike was a 33-degree Freemason occultist grandmaster and creator of the southern jurisdiction of the Masonic Scottish Rite Order, as well as a notorious Luciferian and a general for the Confederacy in the American Civil War. In his letter, he details how the New World Order will provoke a holy war between the Zionists and the Islamic world. We have already seen what the New World Order has done with Islam. They have used it to foment a crisis, a clash of civilizations. Make no mistake, the New World Order is fomenting another crisis to achieve its goals. Albert Pike is recorded as saying his military program might take 100 years or a little longer to reach the day when those who direct the conspiracy at the top will crown their leader king, despot of the entire world, and impose a Luciferian totalitarian dictatorship upon what is left of the human race. And we add there to this text that it was 1871 when that letter between Pike and Giuseppe Mazzini in Italy was written. Back to the article. Pike seems to indicate a conspiracy to start a war so that the Antichrist can ascend to his position as world leader and world ruler. Pike's letter also detailed the specifics of the first two world wars with chilling accuracy. World War I must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the czars in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. The Second World War will be fought for two reasons: to establish the State of Israel and to expand communist control over Europe. World War III must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. It has all been mapped out. We have seen what they are doing with the migrant crisis and with terror attacks and their proxy wars. The global elite are following Pike's predictions to the letter. Only through understanding the history of the Illuminati can we possibly understand the present state of the world and make sure the globalist elite does not shape our future. Is it any wonder, Lou, that Google on the little smartphone told you, forbidden?
That's right. They did not want me to get that article. No doubt about it. And now I want to go on. We want to make it clear that Elizabeth and I explicitly believe God's scripture emphatically tells it was his sovereign plan to gather his dispersed people back to their homeland, Israel. Bill Cooper saw the analysis from human terms only, not Bible prophecy being fulfilled. So he concentrates on the Rothschilds and other dark forces and people creating Israel. He makes interesting points, especially the Albert Pike World War III plan envisioned. So, this is from the People's Voice. William Cooper warned Israel was created to usher in one world government, April 15th, 2024. William Cooper, the author of Behold a Pale Horse, explained in detail what the true purpose of Israel's founding in 1947 was really all about. Cooper said in a 1992 interview, quote, "Israel was created as the instrument to bring about a war that will be so terrible, where nuclear weapons will be used, so that people will get down on their knees and beg for no more war," unquote. Infowars.com reports, and what is the answer to that? We're going to be told the only way we can guarantee no more war is if we destroy the sovereignty of nations, and we come together as one humanity in a one-world government. Cooper went on to say that the globalists behind the insidious plan to usher in global government don't belong to any single tribe, ethnicity, or religion in particular, but are students of the, quote, mystery schools, unquote. And he said, quote, "Read the book of Revelation. Whether you believe the book or not, read it, because the men who are bringing this about are using it as their script," unquote. The interviewer then hypothesized that Jewish people were being, quote-unquote, manipulated by the globalists for this purpose. "That's correct," Cooper replied. "They've always been manipulated. And I get people who still come to me all the time and say, 'Bill, you're all wrong. It's the Jews. The Jews are subverting the world.' Man, it's not the Jews. It's not the Catholics. It's not the blacks. It's these men who belong to the ancient mystery schools, who meet in secret and decide the fate of the world. And they belong to all different races and all different nationalities and all different religions to the public point of view. But in secret, it's a different story," he added. And this is Lou speaking. Dr. Stan Monteith agreed with Cooper that the Jews were used as a scapegoat for the real dark forces of power, especially during the Bolshevik Revolution.
And Lou, if we can interject also, when Cooper said it was not the Catholics, Captain Daryl Eberhard's research has shown a very large hand pointing to the fact that perhaps a Jesuit coup has occurred in this country. There are so many Jesuit-connected leaders now at the top of our government. So for Cooper to have said, it's not the Catholics, this is one of those big, broad statements that you and I have come to distrust greatly. Ding, ding, ding. We have to document things. We have to have facts. And there are enough facts about the Rothschilds Deborah Tavares was on our program one time. It was one of our most popular programs about what's the first part of the silent? What's the first part with a weapon? Silent wars.
Now you got me.
It's very catchy, but we don't have it right now. But anyway, it's these weapons that are surreptitiously put on us, like the smart meters and things like this, the chemtrails, and the silent wars. We don't know we're being harmed. Your 4G phones are not even very healthy. We've looked it up, and we're going to be cutting down a lot on the use of our emails on any little smartphone. So at any rate, back to Bill Cooper, what else?
Cooper served in naval intelligence before publishing Behold a Pale Horse in 1991, which describes the elite's plans for world government and the declaration of war against humanity. And this is Lou again. We've always heard that Cooper was murdered.
And now here's another thing, Lou. We have to beware of the sudden turn from objective news reporting on Israel and the Zionist situation in Israel, as covered by natural news writer Ethan Huff. We have been very concerned. Ethan Huff and Natural News did a splendid job during the COVID era, very scientifically motivated and substantiated. Mike Adams helped Dr. Jane Ruby with his spectroscopy to analyze what was in the white clot. But something has changed. So now we have consistently writer Ethan Huff giving anti-Israel information. So now he had this misleading headline just very recently. The 100 worst landlords in New York City nearly all happen to be Jewish. What are the odds? Well, Lou, when one reads this whole article listing the names of landlords and their number of violations, one sees that there are 20 Jews listed as landlords. 20 out of 100, as you said to me, does not denote, quote, almost all the Jews, as the misleading headline suggests. No, the remaining 80, or four-fifths of the sampling, must be assessed, too. This is a distortion. This is yellow journalism. This is a kind of demonization without statistical proof. This is not much different from Hitler's pre-death camps building of the Jewish stereotypes. There were cartoons of Jews with big noses, and they were dirty. They were said to be dirty people, vermin, all of these horrible things to take away the humanity from the Jewish people. So what else do we have there? I think we have more about this. I have a little more. I think you have something first about this.
Well, I have some other facts about Natural News.
Oh, I think before you go on, I have to. I am not done with them because there was a second article, another Natural News article, again authored by Huff, came April 30th, and this one used the frightening word Stasi in the headline. That's capital S-T-A-S-I. And those of you who don't know what that was, they were the secret police in the East Germany era of things. And here's the headline. Coming soon, Stasi-like anti-Semitism monitors at U.S. college, university, I can't read my word. Compounds? I don't think so. Campuses. Okay, let me do that again since I messed that up. So it's Stasi-like anti-Semitism monitors at U.S. colleges and universities, campuses. Upon examination, listeners, this is a total distortion and exaggeration of the fact that a number of ordinary young college students who were Jewish were frightened about their safety with all these threats on campus. They could not get their leftist university heads and their professors to recognize this. So they went to Congress. They did not feel safe anymore on their campuses with these rabid protests. So they went to Congress, and the result is that there is some congressional oversight now. These reports, you see, will come from the colleges, I guess, back to Congress about the situation. Now, that's very far from Stasi-like anti-Semitism monitors, being put into U.S. colleges. See, they're frightening us that it's a Gestapo police state thing instead of the truth. And so, you know, Lou and I are still looking for unbiased, balanced news reporting, and calling the Stasi. It is really like when the propaganda mills spewed out that stuff about Donald Trump being a Nazi. Isn't it absurd, Lou?
It's totally absurd, yes, because there's no secrecy involved here. Stasi were secret police. This is not secret. This is out in the open.
That's right. And as for Donald Trump being a Nazi, that was just hilarious.
It sure was.
It was. This is propaganda, and it sadly seems like it's purposive to promote, to incite hatred, division, and violence. Shame on naturalnews.com. And I have a little bit more about that, I think. Do you have F?
I do, yes. I
All
have
right,
some
I'll have
too.
More a little later. You go ahead.
All right. Yes, naturalnews.com wasn't done yet. It had another article demonizing Texas Governor Abbott for sending troops in to the University of Texas to quell the upheaval and violence of the Palestine Solidarity Committee and Students for Justice at Palestine protesters. Don't be dumb. Don't be taken in by this article that is a silly way in describing Governor Abbott as once having worn a kippur and kissed a wall in Jerusalem.
I think that was kippon. We're not familiar enough with the Jewish customs.
No,
it was spelled K-I-P-P-O-N, but I didn't think that looked right either.
I'm not sure about that.
But go ahead. He was wearing that, and what?
And he kissed a wall in Jerusalem.
And you and I know what that was. Explain to the listeners.
That's the Wailing Wall. It's what's left out of the original temple that was destroyed by the Romans in A.D. 70, I believe it was. And a lot of tourists just kiss it as a kind of tradition.
And they put notes in there. We've seen pictures of that for a long time.
Yeah, that doesn't make you a Zionist or a Jew just because you did that.
No.
So this is misleading. No, this is just a diversion. This clever little rabid Zionist Abbott portrait from the real Antifa-type destruction at Columbia University with Fox Report's documentary. The pro-Palestinian protesters breaking windows, damaging property, and crying out death to Jews, along with mysterious saying, from the river to the sea. If you don't know what that means, let me explain it to you. This was a saying that goes back quite a long time, used by the Palestinian Authority, back, I think, in the 70s, possibly before. It means that they want to take over everything in that area from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, which would mean they're going to eliminate Israel totally.
Off the map.
Yes, and kill all the people. I think that goes without saying that that would be one of their desires. Certainly it's been a desire for Iran for some time. And another thing that we must recall, May 1st, the news reported more pro-Palestinian protesters had multiple locations, Columbia, University of Texas. The police came in and pretty much broke those up, but then they sprang up again, UCLA, Fordham U, and a number of other colleges. Can't you see this shows a large NWO hand architecturally in the chaos? Creating this chaos. They said that, for one thing, they had all these tents that pretty much came all at once in these colleges, particularly Columbia, they used as the example. Very much matching tents. Now, how many college students that you know have a tent in the dormitory? Why would they need one? But as soon as they wanted to have the protest, there they were. Somebody is paying for all this. Somebody, most probably foreigners, but at least outside the college proper, is paying for all this. You know, agitating, creating a huge chaos.
And remember Soros?
Yes, there's been a lot of things about George Soros. It's let's see now.
He was sending material, wasn't he, to the Antifa group?
That's right.
We learned that after all that chaos in 2020 in some of those leftist states like Washington.
That's right.
Yes. So, again, this One World Order group is up there near the top of the pyramid under Lucifer. Anything more there, Lou?
Just one thing I'll mention. We didn't have it on our plans, but I'll just say that I heard on the radio today that I actually heard it with my own ears. A lot of the protesters that they've interviewed refused to say anything to the reporters. They said, we've been told not to talk.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Agent provocateur.
And a lot
hired guns.
A lot of these kids, too, probably don't even know the history of Palestine. They probably don't know what they're talking about.
But they've had the filthy lucre put in their pockets just the way Mike Pence pocketed that Masonic coin or whatever it was after his role.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, Lou, I think that's pretty much the recap of what's going on there. But there's real destruction, isn't there? The wind is being broken.
Oh, yes. In Colombia, the president of the college finally had had enough after coddling the protesters for, I don't know how long, a long time. Finally, she invited the police in because there were some reports there was violence. I didn't get a chance to verify one way or the other about that. But the police arrested quite a few students, or perhaps students, because a lot of these people probably are not even students there.
No, as we're talking about. And I think now we have to look at another spiritual side of this change at Natural News, sadly to us. We have begun to see a change, and I think perhaps it began when Natural News was supporting Oz. For that political campaign role in Pennsylvania. And we brought out the fact that he was a bosom buddy of Dr. Garofalo, who was doing all these transgender surgeries on the young children or teenagers. And we got nowhere in complaining about that. They kept up that advocacy there at Natural News. So I couldn't believe my eyes and ears when I looked at another article. This was April 22nd, again on my Earth Day birthday. This was from that same website that had always had scientific excellence. You know, we have some old articles from Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, that go back to 2013, 2011. Excellent in matters of health and natural foods. But, you know, we're just saying this. We're not making an accusation, but we're just making a general statement. When the reprobate mind takes over a person or a business venture, satanic insanity seems to take away the ability to think and to reason properly. And we had another very great upset when we heard Mike Adams interviewing Karen Kingston. When you get our book, you will see much important information from whistleblower Karen Kingston. Apparently, she feared for her life, and there were rumors that she feared the CIA might try to kill her, and so she disappeared for a while. And when she got back, she looked terrible. We could see the video of her, and Mike Adams interviewed her. And instead of a sympathetic reaction, he was berating her constantly, why she didn't get in touch and so forth and so on. And you and I were so horrified, we were talking about it in front of our little Google smartphone, which, of course, hears us talking and finding the articles, we have no doubt. And right in the middle of that, it disappeared. The whole business. The interview disappeared. We could never get it back. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That was one of the most shocking things we've had to show us the intrusion into our lives as independent journalists like we are and reporters. So now, this is the article. Why gluten is so much worse for your health than you might have thought. This is an excerpt. Gluten research is polluted with Google-driven misinformation and AI-driven disinformation. Most American gluten contains a whole laundry list of known carcinogens that the European Union bans to protect consumers across the board. American gluten has entire categories of diseases associated with it, including irritable bowel syndrome, celiac disease, diverticulosis, ulcers, polyps, and the list goes on. Gluten, listeners, is not synonymous with the word bread. It does not contain chemicals and carcinogens. The way the author misspeaks, gluten is a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. This article is way beyond embarrassing. It's way beyond inaccurate. It's just so totally weird that it is laughable. It is really provoking of tears. Someone who needs to know what gluten does should go on Amazon and buy Wheat Belly by Dr. Davis. He tells the harm that's in a lot of wheat, and he discusses the celiac problem. We must move now because we want to have time. We'll be having to continue this interview next week at some point about this fomenting of World War III. But it's very important that we get to Salman Rushdie. Read your introduction there, and let's go right to that article.
Yes, on prior programs, I talked about the need to take the radical Islam threat seriously, informing listeners about Thomas Jefferson's role in vanquishing the Barbary pirates, and the key Arab role in procuring black slaves in Africa.
And we also interject that what we've talked to you about tonight, it was just a period of silence about any guilt or intent from radical Islam. So Lou is going to rectify that. Go ahead.
Here's an eye-opening account of how radical Islam dissenters are treated. This is from the weekend edition, April 25th, 2024, of something called Limelight, and as a book review, it says, I Wasn't Dead. Salman Rushdie's Knife, that's the name of the book, Knife is unflinching about his brutal stabbing and uncanny in its vital spirit, by Hillel, Italy, AP National Writer. In Salman Rushdie's first book since the 2022 stabbing that hospitalized him and left him blind in one eye, the author wastes no time reliving the day he thought might be his last. And here's a quote. At a quarter to 11 on August 12, 2022, on a sunny Friday morning in upstate New York, I was attacked and almost killed by a young man with a knife just after I came out on stage at the amphitheater in Chautauqua to talk about the importance of keeping writers safe from harm. Unquote.
And we have to point out, he had also had to flee for his life years and years and years ago because of this fatwa. Go ahead.
Yes. And Rushdie wrote that in the opening paragraph of his memoir, Knife, published on Tuesday. This, by the way, was dated April 25th. At just over 200 pages, Knife is a brief work in the canon of Rushdie, among the most exuberant and expansive of contemporary novelists. What Knife is also his first memoir since Joseph Anton, the 2012 publication in which he looked back on the fatwa, the death decree, issued more than 20 years earlier by Iran's Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini.
Now, Lou, this intent to kill and to have retribution has a long memory life. Think of that. 20, 30 years, they didn't give up pursuing this contract for murder.
That's exactly right. And that contract was put out because of the alleged blasphemy in Rushdie's novel, The Satanic Verses.
Yes.
Rushdie was initially driven into hiding, and for years he lived under constant protection. But the threat had seemingly receded, and he had for some time been enjoying his preferred life of travel, social engagement, and a free imagination, out at play in such recent novels as Quixote, I guess it's pronounced, and Victory City. As Rushdie observes in Knife, subtitled Meditations After an Attempted Murder, he had sometimes pictured his, quote, public assassin, unquote, turning up. But the timing of the 2022 attack seemed not just startling, but anachronistic. The rising of a, quote, murderous ghost from the past, unquote. Returning to settle a score, Rushdie thought long resolved. He refers to August 11th, 2022, as his last innocent evening. But in many ways, Knife is not, or is as notable for the spirit it shares with his other books as it is for the blunt and horrifying descriptions of the attack that did and did not change his life. In the book's first chapter, Rushdie praises the pure heroism, the, quote, physical courage of the Chautauqua Institution event moderator, Henry Reese, who grabbed the assailant. But if another kind of heroism is hope and determination and humor in the wake of trauma, then Knife is a heroic book documenting Rushdie's journey from lying in his own blood to a return to the same stage 13 months later and attaining a state of, quote, wounded happiness, unquote. Love and marriage, Part of the story of Knife is that Rushdie's life, even over these past 2 years, is about more than an act of murderous violence. He dedicates a chapter to meeting and marrying the poet Rachel Eliza Griffiths, who greeted him during a PEN America event in 2017 and revealed a, quote, dazzling smile Rushdie found himself unable to forget. She had been in New York City when she learned of the stabbing and hurried on a private plane to be with him, having been told he was unlikely to survive. Rushdie wrote, quote, I wasn't dead. I was in surgery. Rushdie's charged assailant is Hadi Matar, but the author refers to him as the A, short for Assassin Man. He does allow his imagination to expend itself on an unlikely dialogue with the fellow, being he knows only through a momentous span of 27 seconds. Why even pretend to speak with this would-be killer? I'm not looking, and this is a quote from Rushdie, I'm not looking for an apology. I do wonder how he feels now that he has had time to think things over, Rushdie writes. The nearness of death, Rushdie writes, can make you feel a, quote, great loneliness. Words from others make you feel that you're not alone, that maybe you haven't lived and worked in vain, unquote.
What a difference we can see between the Quran and the Bible, especially the New Testament, with Jesus' love and caring, and the true Christian in his or her heart does not wreak violence or go out and murder people. God will never tolerate this kind of thing taking over even the earth forever. He didn't tolerate it with Hitler's Germany. I've just read a very interesting book, My Name is Selma, and this is a memoir. Probably the lady now has died. She would be 102 if she's living, and she was still alive in 2020, but she was a Jewish young girl, and of course, most of her family perished in the concentration camps. But she disguised herself with blonde hair and went into the resistance in Amsterdam and further. And eventually she ended up in Ravensbrück, the dreaded camp where Corrie ten Boom was. But it's a very inspiring story. And again, you see the utter prejudice in there. Even a part Jewish man who fell in love with her and was going to marry her, he said, you're not 100% Jew, are you? And she recoiled. Of course she didn't marry him. She later married a journalist. And miraculously, after all the starvation and trouble of the camp, she was told she would never have children, but in 1957, she had a wonderful son. God triumphs over the evil men of the world and their hideous depopulation plans. Never forget that. And pray for Lou and me, and do your part for Jesus Christ. Good night.